Mazzara and Parra project to Amimora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay that scare ya. Machado or Bono or Nolan Garantano.
We'll teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Outlaws, Rick Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
Well, you know, not the most eventful night in fantasy baseball. In fact, off the air, we're talking about the NBA Finals. Can we get one good NBA Finals finish? Like one really exciting edge of your seat finish? Is that possible? What do you guys think?
Last night's game was fantastic. There's no reason anyone should be complaining about it. It was one of the most entertaining NBA Finals games I've watched in the last few years.
That can't be true.
No, that was a great game. I really needed a good competitive game, and it was terrific. I enjoyed the heck out of that game.
All right, are you guys being serious right now? Because it was 112-97. What am I missing here?
Have you ever heard the term box score scouting?
Did
you watch 1 minute of the game?
Yeah, confession. I was not feeling great last night. I fell asleep in the middle of the second quarter, and what I had seen was tremendous. It was a great game, but the Warriors scored 13 points in the fourth quarter. It wasn't even close. Can we get one exciting finish?
So you're complaining about a game that you watched a quarter and a half of which that quarter and a half was exceptionally entertaining.
Great.
The next quarter and a half was exceptionally entertaining.
Was a 15-point game. I want a good finish here.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk to you about this.
Well, you know what I was watching last night this is another thing that put me in a sour mood. MLB Extra Innings just crapped out on me last night. Jared Eichhoff was pitching very well. We'll talk about him. Max Scherzer, that was on ESPN, so luckily that wasn't a problem. He pitched great. Now we'll get to the Monday stuff, but email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. I am prioritizing your emails and tweets. We got blasted yesterday for forgetting Wilson Ramos when we were talking about our top catchers, and that, you know, deservedly so. So we'll dedicate some time to Ramos.
He's not one of my top five catchers, so not deservedly so.
Well, it is deservedly so. We should have given him more credit yesterday.
I mean, we were talking about our top five catchers, and he's not one of my top five catchers.
Maybe he should be.
Okay.
Well, Scott, I think on Twitter said he forgot about Ramos
right,
on the air
yes.
yesterday. So that is a top five catcher for him. Anyway, more on that. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. We're also going to tell you about Blue Apron in a little bit. But first, I've got a game to play, an impromptu game of... What do you guys think it's going to be?
Fantasy Feud.
Nope.
Clue.
Is that the first time Chris has spoken today?
What?
You spoke earlier, or is that your first word?
Man, I'm glad I made such an impact on you. We were talking about the NBA Finals.
I only remember Heath's comments. No, it's not Clue. It's Name That Player. Three rounds of Name That Player. All right. Are you guys ready?
Yeah, I'm exceptionally excited.
And it's not part cheesy either. All right, first player, I will give you in the first person.
Phase 10.
Who?
Phase 10.
I love Phase 10.
I figured you would.
What a great game. All right. I am 26 years old.
You're older than that.
Hey, this is not a game of sarcasm. This is a game of paying attention and guessing. Over the last 28 days, I am the number 17 outfielder in points leagues and number 22 in roto. And in those 28 days, I'm batting .325 with 5 home runs and more walks than strikeouts. My Major League Baseball team shares a name with an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
What in the world is going on? Okay.
I share a first name with Adam Sandler's character in The Wedding Singer.
Wow. Okay.
Come on. And my last name...
Whit Merrifield.
No. My last name is disgusting. All right. Nothing for. All right. The Schwarzenegger movie is also a Danny DeVito movie.
Okay. So he plays for the Twins.
Yeah.
So his name is.
Oh, Robbie Grossman.
Booyah! Robbie Grossman. Chris Towers, 1-0. Dude, Robbie Grossman is killing it right now. He's been great.
Yeah.
He, like I said, .325 with 5 home runs and 15 RBIs and more walks, one more walk than strikeouts, and Grossman is like 20% owned. Is that a guy that we should be picking up?
He's someone that every time I do the waiver wire column twice a week, and every time I do, he's someone that, like, the night before I'm like, I should write about Robbie Grossman, and then I never do. He's been really good. I don't know how much we should buy it. I mean, his, you know, he hit 6 home runs and 422 plate appearances back in 2014. Like, I'm not sure how real this power is, but
he's coming into his prime power years, though, Chris.
I'm sure he is. His fly ball percentage is up, his hard hit percentage is up, but like only to 32.8%. So it's not like it's fueling some huge power boost.
What I get nervous about is when I see stats that a player never had in the minors. He has a 299 ISO right now. His best ISO over a full season was like 150.
Yeah.
He did have a 250 once over 26 games in the minor leagues. I just have a hard time believing a guy's going to perform that much over what they did in the minor leagues.
Okay, so Robbie Grossman is one of the most added outfielders. The others, other than Carlos Beltran, is 92% owned. The others are Brandon Moss, Trace Thompson, Peter O'Brien, and Robbie Grossman. How would you put that list together if you were making priorities here? Brandon Moss, Trace Thompson, Peter O'Brien, Robbie Grossman.
I would probably go Thompson, O'Brien, Grossman.
And yeah. What about Moss?
Moss at the end.
Okay. All right, agreed, Chris?
Yeah.
All right, round two of Name That Player. I am hitting 263 with 12 home runs and 39 RBIs. I am a top 12 third baseman.
263 with 12 home runs.
39 RBIs.
Okay.
Top 12 third baseman. My batting average is the same as it was last year, but I'm slugging about 150 points higher. Okay. For my name, think about the adorable animal that made Lisa Simpson become a vegetarian.
Jake Lamb.
Booyah! Good job, Chris.
There you go.
Outstanding. The other clue was I can't hit lefties. How about Jake Lamb? Another home run last night, and I think he's 10th in points and 12th in roto, and yes, he does struggle or sit against lefties, but he's doing enough against righties. Your thoughts?
No, I think he could be, and I don't have him ranked as such. I probably need to move him up a little bit, but I think he could be kind of like what we were hoping Mike Moustakas was going to be this year. I think he can fit right into that Nick Castellanos, Kyle Seager area of the rankings in third base.
I'd definitely much rather have Seager. Castellanos, I'd probably still rather have. Lamb is doing a really good job in hard hit percentage, up to 41.3%. He was only 30. He was 36.3% last season, which isn't bad. I'm not sure what exactly. He's pulling the ball more. He's hitting the ball a little better, but like the plate discipline's pretty much the same. So it's really nice. It's really nice to see him doing
this. This is a guy that had a ton of power in the minor leagues.
Right.
Yes.
And just didn't show it in 107 games as a rookie.
Well, the biggest thing, though.
Didn't he show power before getting hurt last year? Didn't he have a wrist injury? I kind of confuse it with Will Myers, but I feel like both of them showed some power before they got hurt last year and didn't show power after they came back from the injury.
I mean, I just think everything is trending the right direction from his rookie to his sophomore year. And I do believe that players generally improve from that at this stage in their career. So if you look at what he's done in his first 180 games compared to what Castellanos did, I think you would say that he's going to be better than Castellanos.
The one thing I would point out is he did have really good power in the minors. However, it was a lot of doubles power. He averaged 22 homers per 150 games, which is pretty good. He was never a super young player. He was at like double A when he was 23, triple A when he was 24. So it's not like, you know, there's not a huge age gap there where you can project a lot more power, but 51 doubles per 150 games. That's an insane rate.
Yeah.
And, you know, typically when we talk about young players, we talk about doubles power turning into homer power. So that might be what we're seeing here.
Okay, so that's Jake Lamb having a really nice year, and he's still available in 10-team leagues, I would assume. Lamb is 83% owned. Okay, Chris, you've already wrapped it up. Can you go for the clean sweep here?
Oh, yeah, he's got it.
Round three of Name That Player. I am hitting 200, but a 440.
Oh, no, it's too high for Giancarlo.
444 on base and a 350 slugging percentage. Weird slash line. I'm owned in 70% of CBSSports.com leagues. 2015, after the All-Star break, I hit 343 with 11 home runs and a 455 on-base percentage.
What is your on-base percentage?
Right now, it's 448.
And
you're hitting 200?
Think Lisa Simpson's Valentine's Day card to Ralph Wiggum. According to Wikipedia, I went to the same elementary school as Daeho Lee.
Hyunsoo Kim?
No, it would be Shinsu Chu.
Oh, well,
Shinsu Chu. I choose you, Chris.
He's played 7 games.
Yeah, I know. That's why it was tricky. But he's 70% owned.
That was awful.
I feel like Shinsu Chu leading off for the Rangers, as he did last night, could be a guy who's like 95% owned soon if he starts picking it up.
Yeah. So are we going to, like, are the Rangers just going to play 11 hitters from now on?
Well, Chu's gonna stay.
Okay.
Maybe. I could see maybe he sits against lefties, I guess. But look, he doesn't impact Profar or anything like that. If anything, he would impact Ryan Rua.
Okay, so, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I absolutely think he's under-owned at around 70%. We're looking at a guy who had 22 homers last season, scored 94 runs, drove in 82. Triple slash line was really good. He always gets on base, gets hit by a lot of pitches, which is a good thing.
He's old.
As long as he doesn't get hurt.
He's probably going to get hurt.
Sure, he is old. He already has been hurt. We already saw him come back from his injury and get hurt again, so that's not a great sign. But I don't know. Do you really like not pick someone up because there's a chance they get hurt?
No, I mean,
I've got him. I think he's a top 50 outfielder for sure.
That's it? For Chu?
He could be top 40.
That's it? Outfield's not that good this year. Like, who's 30th for you?
I'd rather have Jacoby Ellsbury.
Would you? Yeah. I don't think I would. Would you rather have, maybe in Roto because of the steals, but would you rather have Nomar Mazara or Shinsu Chu?
Definitely Mazara.
Yeah.
And I've got Mazara right around 30. Jackie Bradley, Ian Desmond, Sano, Conforto, Will Myers, Hanley.
All right. I mean, I could see Chu being better than all of them. But I could see him being worse. I guess it's a tough spot in the rankings. A lot of
There's a lot of guys that either we think are going to be good but haven't been yet, or we thought were good but suck now. That pretty much occupy 25 through 50 in the outfielder rankings.
Okay, so let's do your news and notes here. Gerrit Cole, likely to miss his next turn, but the injury does not seem long-term for Cole. Yu Darvish is on the DL with tightness in his neck and his shoulder. No structural damage. Edwin Encarnacion was out with a jammed finger. He is expected back today. Adrian Beltre will not play until at least Thursday. Jonathan Papelbon was unavailable due to soreness, just general soreness, not necessarily arm soreness. So Sean Kelly, I saw him picked up in our 16-team league. Not saying it's going to happen, but he did get the save. Keep in mind. Oh, scary thing for Sean Manaea, left with a forearm strain last night.
Yeah. That's not good.
Yeah. Michael Franco, day-to-day with a knee injury. The Yankees signed Ike Davis.
Ugh.
Yeah. I don't know. Could he be relevant in Yankee Stadium, Ike Davis?
Oh, yeah. I mean, any left-handed hitter with a pulse could hit home runs there.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure he still has a pulse.
Also, he'll sit against lefties, and Teixeira could be back in a few weeks. Parmalee could be back in a few weeks. So it's an ugly situation.
When your job is dependent on whether or not Parmalee comes back,
I feel like they would go with Parmalee over him if it came to that. But we've already spent too much time on this. Tim Lincecum is going to join the Angels rotation this weekend. Your level of excitement on Tim Lincecum?
Well, you could just read Chris Towers' article on CBSSports.com, and then you would know.
That is the nicest thing you've ever said, Heath.
My level of excitement is low. Very low. I am not excited.
I'm not like jacked up for it, but I want to see.
Okay, you know. Let me take that back. I will watch his first start.
Yeah.
I will cheer for him to have success because I like him. I like the fact that he does things differently than other major league pitchers, and I want him to have success. My fantasy expectation and level excitement is almost non-existent.
Yeah, I think he's worth adding in AL-only leagues, but that's what player isn't worth adding in a league-specific right. league if they're getting playing time. He's pretty much guaranteed Ike a spot Davis. In the rotation.
Ike Davis, yeah. All right, but so that's Lincecum.
In his three spring training starts, he had a 2.65 ERA, 19 strikeouts, and 17 in the third innings. It's worth looking at.
And it's worth looking at because of the hip injury that he had surgery for. I mean, that's really debilitating. So hopefully he can come back from that and be strong. Juan Nicasio is not going to start tonight. So the speculation is Jameson Taillon could be starting tonight for the Pirates. Do we know that? I mean, look, it's 9:30 in the morning. We still don't know who's starting for the Pirates tonight.
All I've seen is exactly what you said, which is speculation that Taillon will be starting.
Yeah, I hope nobody dropped Jameson Taillon after his first start. And I'll look up his ownership in just a second. Cuban infielder Yulieski Gurriel, free to sign with any Major League Baseball team.
Did you see this dude's numbers?
We do actually have Hardball Talk saying that he will start.
Okay. Taillon.
Yes.
68% owned.
Did you see Gurriel's numbers?
No.
They are redonkulous. He played 49 games in 2015 in the Cuban National Series. 224 plate appearances, 20 doubles, 87 hits, 55 runs, 15 homers, 51 RBI, 38 walks, 3 strikeouts.
Wow.
He hit .500 with a .1463 OPS.
I mean, the Yankees
that
are
is
gonna,
redonkulous.
The Yankees are going to try to sign this guy, right?
I mean, he's 32. So
fit right in.
So if you can... if you could get him on like a 3-year, $30 million contract, he seems like a really good deal.
Does he fall into the whole like international dollar allotment, or is he just up for grabs?
Because I think that's there's like an age requirement for that, right? Like if you're over a certain age, you're not part of that.
That would make sense. Okay, well, I don't know. I mean, would you be adding Gurriel right now? Just as speculation.
I don't know if he's in the player pool.
Yeah, that was my question.
But every single scout seems to believe this guy is major league ready right now.
I don't think he's in the player pool.
So as soon as he signs, I think it's worth adding him, yeah. Or as soon as he's added, yeah, in deeper leagues. When everybody says that this guy's been, you know, arguably the best player in Cuba for a long time, has some really big seasons, and we've seen Cuban imports come in and have success from day one.
We've also seen a lot of them struggle.
I didn't like say
half,
all of them.
Half the Braves roster.
Okay, guys. Victor Martinez day-to-day with a knee injury, and the Phillies ended a 13-game losing streak on Mondays yesterday behind Jared Eichhoff, who we'll talk about in a second. What?
Oh, they had lost on 13 straight Mondays?
Yes.
Who is keeping track of that?
The Associated Press told me about it.
The team will do that.
Yeah,
when you get the game notes.
Yeah. We've lost on 13 straight. I can't imagine the Phillies told people that they've lost on 12 straight Mondays.
Yeah,
you know they might have their record in their notes by day. I bet they do.
Yeah,
They might have some kind of like a case of the Mondays thing. That's what they always do. They have a little like they'll do it in bold, like a little headline.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you,
it's garbage.
Yeah. Hey, you guys want some free food?
Yes.
Yeah.
Always.
Well, if you do, go to blueapron.com/FBT, as in Fantasy Baseball Today, blueapron.com/FBT. More on that in a minute. I started using Blue Apron a couple of weeks ago. Yesterday, another shipment arrived. Very excited. Since then, I've been telling anyone who will listen, you've got to sign up for Blue Apron. You want to eat better food? You want to eat healthier food? Different food? Blue Apron lets you do that for less than $10 per meal. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we made an amazing chicken piccata and a couple other meals. This week, beef arepas and a few others are on the menu. It's all about the ingredients, and Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals. So they set the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best. And it's all less than $10 per meal. Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. They give you exactly what you need. They tell you exactly how to make it. It takes less than 40 minutes. And you get to cook. I mean, if you love cooking, this is a no-brainer. Sign up for Blue Apron. If you don't love cooking, you're going to get into it. It's a lot of fun, and it's really easy to do. So check out this week's menu and get your two meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/FBT. You'll love how good it feels, tastes, and how to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. blueapron.com/FBT. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. And again, that's /FBT as in fantasy baseball today. Two free meals. Sign up now. All right, Jared Eichhoff stood out to me yesterday, 74% owned. Last six starts, 3-3 with a 2.33 ERA. He was a little wild yesterday, but that has not been the norm. And he did it against Toronto, granted, without Edwin Encarnacion. So I'd kind of given up on Eichhoff. I traded him away. I probably would have dropped him if I didn't. Was that a big mistake? Should Eichhoff be owned in, you know, everything but real shallow leagues?
I think he should be owned almost universally. I mean, not, you don't have to start him every single week, but you definitely want to start him against good matchups, and it kind of seems like you want to start him against some bad matchups. I wonder when a guy that has pretty good control, I mean, he's only barely got more than 2 walks per 9, and he was a little bit wild yesterday. I kind of wonder sometimes if that's by design. Like, that seems like a pretty good plan against a Blue Jays lineup that just crushes anything over the plate, but is a little bit too free-swinging sometimes.
Well, the bigger question for me is how many left-handed bats did the Blue Jays start yesterday? That's always the big thing, right?
I'm going to guess two.
Michael Saunders and Justin Smoke. That makes sense. But, like, that's the big thing with Jared Eichhoff is he's been really incredible against right-handed batters in his career. 196 batting average, 558 OPS, 5.2 strikeout-to-walk ratio. And then against lefties, 273 with a 200 ISO, 800 OPS, 2.5 strikeout to walk ratio. He has real platoon issues, and it makes sense given the type of pitcher that he is. He relies so heavily on his breaking pitches, which are really good against same-handed batters, not so much against the platoon, so he needs to develop that changeup. He threw it 6 times last night. He didn't really need to.
But doesn't sound like you're buying it, Chris. I'm
going to.
Are you saying we should sell Jared Eichhoff?
No. That's not really what I'm saying at all. It's just he's someone that is good, but you do have to be aware of the matchups.
Were there any other standouts that, we have to talk about these guys from yesterday?
I mean, we should probably talk about James Shields.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about James Shields.
Yeah, let's talk about James Shields for the last time.
For the last time.
You're done with him?
Done. No.
He's not a...
Kind of. I'm done with, like, the name James Shields. Maybe he can be a useful fantasy option, but, like, he's not... He doesn't have... Even at his best, James Shields never had... Like the most amazing blow you away stuff.
I mean, he had that, the best changeup.
He had that amazing changeup, and that was great.
But having the best of one of the 4 or 5 pitches,
mm-hmm.
I think that means you have good stuff. Like if you have an average fastball,
you only throw it 30% of the time at most.
Right. Nobody else has the best pitch in baseball 30% of the time they're throwing. Looks okay, well, but, like 4 guys do.
But 70% of the time he's not throwing that. He got by on really good command, which helped his stuff play up. He doesn't have that command anymore. I think it's pretty clear.
Right. I don't think James Shields is going to be a top 25 pitcher again. But
what reason do we have to think he's going to be a top 50 pitcher?
Well, because 3 starts ago he had a 3.1 ERA.
And the peripherals were all indicating that that wasn't necessarily sustainable.
I don't know if all of them were, but some of them certainly were.
I mean, he's 3.7 walks per 9 since getting to San Diego last season.
Yep.
The strikeouts were up last season, which is great, except they're back down this season, and he hasn't corrected with better control. See, he hasn't corrected with more home run prevention.
Those last four starts before this disaster, he had, what, 30 strikeouts in 25 innings.
Okay.
He looked like himself again. Two of them were against the Giants, who would seem to be a very bad matchup for him.
Mm-hmm.
I just, like, I don't think, I'm not going to begrudge anybody if they want to drop James Shields. I don't think he's just that. I don't think the whole, when we talk about him for the last time, James Shields is done. I don't buy into that either.
So would you rather have James Shields or Jared Eichhoff?
I'd rather 100% Jared Eichhoff.
Yes, I'd rather have Eichhoff.
Would you rather have James Shields or Drew Smyly?
Drew Smyly.
Smyly.
We're talking about a guy with a 515 FIP and a 453 XFIP. Like, it's by any measure, he's been one of the worst pitchers in baseball this season.
That's...
It's 100% true.
Yeah, but what were those numbers?
What are the bottom 10 XFIPs in baseball this year? They're not 4.5.
What were those XFIP and FIPs, you know, four starts ago before these three brutal ones?
Sorry, you're right. He is 84th out of 101 qualified pitchers.
Okay. There've been probably 170 starting pitchers this year.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. Here's some... Go ahead.
I don't see any reason for optimism here.
Here are some widely available players that are doing some good things lately. I want to know if you're interested in them. At most, they're owned in 23% of leagues, and this doesn't even count Robbie Grossman, who we already spent some time on. Mitch Moreland has four home runs in his last four games, and, you know, he actually had a pretty solid year last year. 278, 23 home runs, 85 RBIs. So Moreland is getting hot at the right time. Maybe Profar put a little jolt into him. Whit Merrifield is 18% owned. He's led off for the Royals in four straight games. He's batting .330 and homered yesterday, his first home run. Two walks, 19 strikeouts, though, for Merrifield. Scooter Jeanette, okay, so he's hitting well again. He's batting .390 in June with four walks, seven strikeouts. It was really just, you know, coming off the DL, he was awful for like 3 weeks, and he's turning it around. So Jeanette's 14% owned, and then Malik Smith, not doing anything but stealing bases, but he has stolen four bases over the last week. So did I mention any names that you're excited about at all? Moreland, Merrifield, Jeanette, Smith.
I think Moreland is in a different class than those other three, just because he's a maybe Scooter in a league where you need that middle infield, but I don't believe he's going to be somebody you're going to start regularly. I got excited about him again at the beginning of this season, and he is what he is. Moreland, though, should be owned in most roto leagues.
Moreland, okay. All right, works for me. So here is a series of relevant emails and tweets.
Oh.
Can I say this first Twitter handle?
Yeah.
All right, this one's from Roto Balls.
What? I can't believe you said that.
Adam!
Yeah, sorry. At what point do you...
Heath just fainted.
At what point do you start to give Wilson Ramos credit for being a top three catcher?
A top three catcher.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just right behind Posey and LaCroix.
Well, he is, as of now, number two in points leagues behind LaCroix, number one in Roto, Wilson Ramos.
Right. I will move him into my top three, if that is still true, in July.
Okay.
So who would you currently keep ahead of him?
I have a substantial list of players ahead of Wilson Ramos. No, I mean, I've got McCann ahead of him.
Okay.
I've got Salvador ahead of him. I've got Evan Gattis ahead of him. I've got Matt Wieters ahead of him.
Steven Vogt, Russell Martin, Wellington Castillo, Yadier Molina, Yasmani Grandal, Travis Darnell.
I think you probably have to move into the top five there. Like, not above Gattis, but above all those other guys. The plate discipline's great. We've seen this kind of power from him before. The power's actually the one thing that's really not unexpected. He only had 15 homers and 504 plate appearances last season, but I mean, 11 and 361 the year before, 16 and 303 before that, 15 and 435. Like, this guy's a really good power hitter, and maybe we don't expect the plate discipline him to continue striking out this rarely, but he's also done that before. The bigger issue for him actually has been injuries.
Yeah, and let's not forget, he had the LASIK surgery, And maybe that's helping his batting average and well, his overall hitting, because, you know.
Yeah, I'd be really surprised if he finishes the year above 300.
Sure.
And I'd be really surprised if he's going to have an ISO 30 points higher than his career high in the majors or minors.
Okay. Okay, so he hits 280 with a 490 or a 400, 470 ISO? Is that...
470 ISO, I don't think that's...
470 slugging.
That's possible. Okay. I don't think he'll... Like, if he finishes there, though, then he's not a top five catcher the rest of the way.
Well, no. That's what I'm saying is that's what he regresses to.
Like, that's what he is from this point forward. Okay.
That wouldn't be unrealistic.
That would be a career year, but those happen. That's why... I mean, that's a thing that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So he's a little hesitant to buy in.
Okay. Chris is moving him to fifth. I will move him up a little bit today. I'll make sure he's ahead of a couple of those guys at the end.
Here's a tweet from Johnny Utah. Is Carlos Carrasco good, or is he the poop emoji?
I don't think he's the poop emoji. I'm not sure that he's quite right, though.
Okay.
Well, he gave up 10 hits yesterday, but only, I think, 2 runs. It wasn't a bad start. But yeah, he hasn't been dominant yet.
I mean, that sounds a little like he just got babbitt to death.
Maybe, but I mean, it's not just this start. It's so far this season, and really last season for Carrasco when he had a 3.63 ERA. Now, kind of interesting thing about Carrasco is 3.63 ERA, 14 and 12, he was the number 21 starter in points leagues, number 14 in Roto, because he struck out 216 batters in 183 and two-thirds. So we need those strikeouts to come back up.
And they were there yesterday.
Yeah. So, what do you think?
Yeah, his swinging strike rate is way down. His swing rate on pitches outside of the strike zone is down. And all those things would lead you to believe that the strikeout rate is going to remain down. However, I think it's also, like, he's had a weird season. Like, he looked pretty good before the injury, and then he came back. Did he go on a rehab assignment before coming back to the rotation?
I don't know.
Yeah, we were talking about this on the DFS podcast yesterday, and nobody seems to, it seems like he didn't. So you're looking at, like, that gives me an explanation for why he hasn't necessarily looked super sharp in his last 3 starts.
So if somebody's, you know, down on Carlos Carrasco, you'd pounce on that?
Yes.
Okay. Matt in New Jersey. Now, yesterday Heath kind of outed me as a voice doctor, a podcast PED user.
Right.
I make my voice a little bit deeper than what it really is, because I don't want to sound like this. And so Matt says
that... Hey, guys, it's Adam.
Hey, what's up, guys? Matt says that Al and Heath sound almost exactly alike. And I've seen people say that a lot. I don't agree, though.
I don't get it all. Al actually listened and said that he did listen and hear that. Also, one point, I did a Google search. It looks like Carlos Carrasco did make at least one rehab start in AA.
All right.
Well, Matt wants to know if you could share some thoughts on Travis Shaw. A lot of people are ditching Travis Shaw, but I'm having a hard time getting rid of a guy that's just in a slump.
Well, that's what you have to figure out with Travis Shaw. Is this just a slump, or was that just a hot streak? Probably both.
A bit of both.
I'm perfectly fine with dropping Travis Shaw, but I could also see the case for holding on to him. I do think he's going to be much better than he is right now. How much longer are you going to wait the slump out? Because those strikeouts or negative points are counting.
Can I provide some new information that you may not be aware of?
Okay.
That might change your opinion?
On Travis Shaw.
According to Baseball Reference, Travis R. Shaw's nickname is Mayor of Ding Dong City.
Yeah, Baseball Reference is crazy.
Does that change your opinion on Travis Shaw?
Would you rather have Jake Lamb or Travis Shaw, guys?
Jake Lamb.
Lamb.
Would you rather have Victor Martinez or Travis Shaw?
V-Mart.
You know, V-Mart, I was actually surprised because I was trying to make some trades. Yeah, well, I was just going to say, I was trying to make some trades yesterday, and Victor Martinez came up in one of the trades, and I looked where he ranks among first basemen. It's really pretty unimpressive.
I would say the knee him missing the game yesterday, they did have him undergo an MRI on the knee.
Yeah.
So he jokingly said that he's been diagnosed with old, which is funny, except that he's 37. So it's not like a totally unrealistic diagnosis, especially for a guy whose season last year was completely ruined by a knee issue.
Okay, next up is Nick. He says, "Dear Lynn, David, and Leslie."
I know that.
Yeah, you better know that,
Those
Chris.
Those are my guys.
All you do is freaking tweet about Hamilton.
Not throwing away my shot.
Okay. In a 14-team categories league, would you trade high, sell high, on Marcell Ozuna? If so, what would you be looking for, Marcell Ozuna?
Marcell high Ozuna? Yeah, I would. I was all in on the Marcell Ozuna bounce back season, and he's bounced back, but I think he's playing over his head right now. I don't think he's going to hit 30 homers. I don't think he's going to hit 320. I think he's probably going to settle in somewhere around a 270 hitter, probably finish with 25 plus homers. I think he's very valuable. I think he's good. I think he's been a great value for you, but I also think his best days are in the past this season. I think we're more likely to see the 2014 version of Marcell Ozuna moving forward. I would sell high.
All right. 2 walks, 13 strikeouts for Ozuna in the month of June. Would you rather have Ozuna or Shin-Soo Choo?
Ozuna.
Ozuna.
Boy, okay. Would you rather have Ozuna or Nomar Mazara?
Mazara.
Ozuna.
So this
email... You can't sell high on Ozuna.
Why not?
Because you think you've got him... Nobody's going to give you top 15 outfielder value for him. And you think he's a top 25 or 30.
Do we have Nomar Mazara as a top 15?
No, what I'm saying is Mazara is like the top 30 range.
I think we might just have Nomar Mazara ranked a little too high.
Okay.
Marcell Ozuna's hard hit rate is 11% higher than Nomar Mazara's.
Okay.
Like, that's a massive gap. Nomar Mazara, in terms of expected home run to fly ball ratio based on hard hit percentage, which is something I did last week, he's one of the biggest outliers in baseball.
Right. Who would you trade Ozuna for?
Let me look up the rankings.
That was one of the questions the guy asked, and we've come up with two that we wouldn't. I guess you would trade him for Mazara. No, you wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't.
You look at that. I'm going to read the next question. Paul in Carlsbad says, "Dear Jack, Janet, and Chrissy."
That's Three's Company.
Oh, I didn't know that. "I've been offered Gregory Polanco for Giancarlo Stanton straight up. I'm in a 12-team roto league, which counts Ks and walks, and I could keep Polanco in the fifth round. I can't keep Stanton next year. A month ago, I would have laughed it off. Now, well, the frustration has set in. So would you trade Stanton for Gregory Polanco to get Polanco back?"
In that specific format where strikeouts and walks are counted, yes. Polanco, what?
Nothing.
Polanco has an OPS over 900 in each month so far this season. The strikeout to walk ratio, for the most part, has been really solid. I think it dipped back down in May, but was really good in April, has been pretty solid in June. And then the keeper aspect of that, but in a standard league, to provide a little more context for the rest of our listeners, no, I would not trade Giancarlo Stanton for Gregory Polanco. Maybe that makes me a big dumb homer, Heath.
Yeah, I would take that trade.
I read something interesting.
It's not a standard league.
Okay, no, okay.
I read something interesting today that Giancarlo Stanton had a side injury, and he is apparently over the side injury, but it did affect him, and it contributed to the start of his slump. He just couldn't get his swings right, and maybe he's still not completely recovered from... Like, he's physically recovered.
There's something about the hard swinging motion where you swing at something but miss it, that you can really tweak something in your oblique area. That's happened to me on the golf course when I've had too many beverages.
Yeah, but you're a lot older than Giancarlo Stanton.
Well, it happened back in my younger days.
It's not... for me, it's not a swing issue. I don't think there's... I don't know what the issue is, but like the fact that he hit the hardest ball in the StatCast era last week, the fact that he hit two of the five hardest hit balls in baseball all season in the same game.
As soon as you get in an exit velocity league, he is going to be killing it.
Well, That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that it does. There doesn't appear to be any physical issue. He's just having trouble identifying pitches, making contact with them. I'm not saying it's not an issue. It's clearly an issue, but it doesn't seem to be a physical issue.
Wouldn't it be better if it was, and then we had an explanation, or maybe
sure.
Well,
I think yes. I think I just made the case that it was a physical issue, and he's still going to come out of it, Giancarlo.
Chris
Stanton.
Disagrees.
Well, no. But what I'm saying is that he's still making hard contact. He yeah. has been the whole time. The power isn't the issue. The home run to fly ball ratio, I'm pretty sure, is still 20-25%. It's still mostly where you would expect it to be. It's just that. You know, the hard hit rate is down, but it's not, like, cratered.
Giancarlo Stanton is going to be the best player in baseball for a solid month when he gets going. Agree or disagree?
There should be a month stretch where he is in the conversation.
Yeah, he's going to destroy
it. I don't think he will be the best player in baseball for a month.
He's going to destroy it. Give me Giancarlo Stanton. I will take him.
Okay. If I will try to find a league where I have
fall,
him.
I fall somewhere in between the two of you. Heath thinks that he's done.
I never said he's done.
I mean, you have said that.
I don't know that his stretch over the last few weeks has been any better than James Shields' stretch, but...
Oh, come on.
I mean, it is so obvious that unless this guy is really hurt, which according to what I read today, he is not. And I read this in the Miami Herald. Yeah. He is not hurt. Giancarlo Stanton is too young and too good to just have a bad year. He's going to regress up, and it's going to be amazing.
Players have bad years.
He's not going to have a bad year. He's one of the best players in baseball. He's not going to have a bad year. He's going to destroy it.
I think there's
a
lot of people that question the whole best player in baseball thing.
He is one of the best players in baseball.
He's the best power hitter in baseball.
No one really said he's the best player in baseball.
He just said he is.
No,
I didn't say it.
Or he said he's going to have a month stretch where he is the best player in baseball, which has been true pretty much every season of Giancarlo Stanton's career.
I said he's one of the best players in baseball, at least fine. He's one of the best fantasy players in baseball.
By any measure you want to choose, he's been one of the 10 best hitters in baseball since making his debut. He's been awful. He's been awful this season.
What is with you, Heath?
On base percentage.
All right, one more email. One more email.
Heath is a troll.
Yeah. But, you know, you're trolling, but you're also really being negative on Giancarlo Stanton. I hope that's by design.
Like, I have lowered Giancarlo Stanton in my rankings since the start of the year.
You should have.
That's fine. But
I don't think he's just fine, and this is just your garden variety slump.
No, it's the worst slump of his career.
It's worse than... Really, you don't generally have top 10 players that go through slumps like this.
Fair.
It is something to take note of. It's not just he's a great player, he's had a bad couple weeks.
Okay. What do you make of Bryce Harper right now? Have you moved Bryce Harper down?
Not really, no.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not doing anything other than walking.
Bryce Harper's been pretty bad for a while.
Right, but not near as bad as Stanton.
Okay, but he's also better than Stanton.
He's not striking out. Well, I had one of them number one in my outfielder rankings and one of them number three to start the year.
Okay, so why is Bryce Harper still number one?
Yes.
Okay.
He's not striking out 35% of the time, is he?
No.
Okay.
He has, let's see. This is his worst 30-game stretch since the end of 2014.
Okay, so he did not have a 30-day stretch this bad last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he's had two already this season that have been that bad.
All right, let's move on. Jeff in South Jersey says, hey, Kevin, Pete, Ruxin, and Taco.
That's the league.
That's the league.
Okay.
Is Andrew Miller worth stashing? I also have Papelbon. Or is Will Harris a better option in a 12-team head-to-head points league? Yes, Will Harris is a better option. Yeah. But let's answer the first question. Is Andrew Miller worth stashing, hoping for a Chapman trade?
See, here's the thing. If I had a couple of closers that I feel pretty decent about starting, but that aren't like totally elite, I think Andrew Miller might be a better stash. If I need to start somebody this week, I'd rather have Will Harris on my team.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I've got Papelbon and
John Margomez,
sure. And I'm like, I'm going to start those two over Will Harris, then I'd rather have Miller on my bench, because if Miller gets the job again, he's going to be one of the top three or four closers in baseball.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. If Miller gets the job on the Cubs, then, you know, he might not be, because they don't get that many save chances. If Miller gets the job on the Yankees, then they might not be, because they might be terrible. Because if they sell Aroldis Chapman, that means they're in sell mode. They'll probably trade Beltran.
I know the Cubs have won a lot of games by a lot of runs this season. I would still bet on them from this point forward having more save opportunities than the average team.
Yeah,
I think they're going to win more games by 3 and 2 runs than they do by 6 and 8.
All right, people, let's do a hypothetical here. Let's say you have a friend. Let's just call him, for lack of a better name, let's call him Heath.
Who would be friends with a guy named Heath?
And he thinks he's great at fantasy baseball, but you know you're better. So how can you prove it? You prove it every single day on FanDuel.com. You can challenge Heath. You can play head-to-head against anyone or play in big tournaments. There's a contest out there for everyone on FanDuel. Tonight's slate's going to be a little bit more exciting than last night's slate. That's the good news, so give it a shot. Play daily fantasy baseball on FanDuel.com. You can win real money immediately. Contests start at just $1. And if you use our promo code HOMERUN, one word, no spaces, HOMERUN, when you sign up, you'll get a great offer. Enter your first league, either win a cash prize in that league or get your refund from FanDuel on your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. So go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and sign up with our promo code HOMERUN. We had a 13-player trade in our podcast for the People League yesterday.
I started to look at it, and then I just closed it. Like, I can't even process this.
I think it's a pretty one-sided trade, to be quite honest with you.
Well, good. Tell people who got screwed.
All right. So I think Captain Tight Pants did not do a very good job. That's my opinion.
What did Captain Tight Pants give up?
He probably needed a closer. All right. Here's the trade. Captain Tight Pants gives to Merce of the Bambino. He gives up Chris Sale, Steven Strasburg, Sonny Gray, James Paxton, Will Myers, Todd Frazier, and Trevor Rosenthal.
So I forgot.
Four pitchers there. Yeah, I know.
I'm looking at it.
All right, Sale, let me just read it again because there's no way. Hold on. There's no way anybody following along, you know, just listening, has this memorized. So four pitchers: Sale, Strasburg, Gray, and Paxton, and three hitters or two hitters: Myers and Frazier, and a closer, Trevor Rosenthal.
Okay.
Gets back Kershaw.
He's good.
Jordan Zimmerman, Dan Straley, Jake Lamb, Mark Trumbo, and Fernando Rodney. Kershaw, Jordan Zimmerman, Dan Straley, Trumbo, Fernando Rodney, and Jake Lamb.
I don't think this is, like, I understand why you're saying did a bad job, but what, like, which of the guys that Captain Tight Pants got would you take for Kershaw?
Like, I would rather have
Strasburg plus what?
Strasburg and Sale.
Strasburg and Sale is too much for Kershaw.
Strasburg and Sonny Gray probably.
Or yes. Sale and Frazier.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, Dan Straley doesn't matter to anyone.
No, that's not true. This is a 16-team league. He's been pitching well.
Sure, but he doesn't have, like, trade value.
Zimmerman and Sonny Gray are basically the same guy.
Okay.
Rodney Rosenthal's a lot better than Rodney, I think.
Rodney's been a lot better than Rosenthal this year.
Well, it depends. Rosenthal will probably get more saves, even though I think he only has like 13. But the WHIP is terrible. Rodney's ratios are better than Rosenthal
this season.
I think it's
probably one player too much. It's like take off Sale or Strasburg. It's probably a lot more
even.
You're not giving any credit here to Will Myers, though. Like, that's a big part of this deal. Now, Trumbo.
Well, we haven't mentioned Mark Trumbo yet either.
Yeah, Trumbo and Myers have been, let's call it, pretty much even. But then you got Todd Frazier on the Myers, Sale, Strasburg, Gray, Paxton, Rosenthal side.
So if we get rid of Trumbo, Myers, and we get rid of Zimmerman, Gray.
Well, that's why I'm saying the Sale, Strasburg side won this deal.
Yes. In a deep league, nonetheless. So it's not like you just want to get
the
best player.
But I thought you said Captain Tight Pants didn't do a good job.
He didn't do a good job. He lost it. Because he
Chris
gave up
the Sale Strasburg side.
He's not the Sale Strasburg side.
He's getting Sale and Strasburg.
No,
right?
He's getting Kershaw. Boy, you've butchered this.
This is great podcasting.
It was too many names. I told you.
Yeah. Well, you're the commissioner. You should have had a command on this.
I'm all for free trade.
Some more stuff from yesterday. Ian Kinsler has homered in 3 straight games. He's the number 3 second baseman in points, number 2 in Roto, but in points leagues, he's only half a point behind Cano. So he's basically the number 2 second baseman right there with Robinson Cano behind Jose Altuve. Second straight season for Kinsler with a 30% line drive rate, but this year he's homered on 11.3% of his fly balls. Last year, 3.7% of his fly balls. In fact, this 11.3% of his fly balls is pretty darn high considering what we've seen from Kinsler the last 3 seasons. What do you guys make of it?
Is he hitting the ball harder?
Well, not than last year, 30% line drive rate this year and last year.
What about hard contact rate?
I don't do that. I don't get that nitty gritty.
Well, no, but that is hard contact rate has a very strong correlation to home run to fly ball ratio. Now, he's at 14.6% this season for home run to fly ball ratio, only 5% last season. So there's not really a great explanation for a tripling of that.
5% seems like, what's his career?
9.
So, but so 5%
was but in the previous two seasons, it was 6.5, yeah. 6.7. He's been pretty low lately.
Look, it's this. 2013 to 2015, very little power for Kinsler. This year, best power season of his career, or at least one of them. And you heard the different numbers on the home run to fly ball ratio between me and Chris. One is probably Fangraphs, and I was using Baseball Reference.
Right. I will say this, looking at Fangraphs, this is his highest hard contact rate of his career, and the only year that was even close was 2013.
Yeah.
So he's hitting the ball harder than he ever has.
Can you make a case for Ian Kinsler as the number two second baseman in fantasy?
No, thank you. I think he was overlooked at the beginning of the year probably a little bit, but he's probably a top six or seven guy more, I would think.
Yeah, it would be hard for me to move him above any of the Murphy, Zobrist, Odor class, let alone Cano or Altuve. I don't think he's going to hit 30 home runs this season, which is the pace that he's on. I think it would be fair to expect 10 more home runs from the rest of the season, which, hey man, 24 home runs at 32 or 34. Awesome season, Ian.
Yeah. Marcus Semien is 54% owned, and his last 14 games, Semien is batting .321 with 2 home runs and 3 steals and 3 attempts. Does that register at all for you, or do you think he's just still the same Marcus Semien?
Is he striking out still?
4 walks, 13 strikeouts in 14 games.
I think it's the same Marcus Semien.
Yep.
I think he's useful.
All right. Here's one down. Odubel Herrera really just hasn't been very good for about a month. He's basically the 60th best outfielder, Odubel Herrera, over the last month. He did homer yesterday, so that was nice. But all that goodwill with Odubel Herrera, do you still have it?
The one thing I need to see is that walk rate, because that was the thing that stood out so much early in the season.
Well, you mean in the last month, his walk rate?
Yeah, he walked 22.1% of the time in March and in April, 9.4% in May, 10.6% in June. So it's way down. It's still above where we expected it to be, but that's definitely cut into his.
He's not as good as he was in April.
Yeah,
he's not as bad as he's been the last month. I think he's a top. He fits for me right in there in that Shin-Soo Chu range in the outfielders.
All right. In the rotation, we have Max Scherzer, who was great. We have Kyle Hendricks, who wasn't. And Kyle Hendricks, 1.99 ERA at home, 4.36 ERA on the road. He just had 2 bad starts in a row now, or 2 starts in a row. But before that, he had 2 very good ones in a row. I don't know. Kyle Hendricks, 94% owned. I think, certainly based on what he's done so far, maybe a little over-owned. However, he does have a 1.00 whip, which makes him the number 36 starting pitcher in Roto, but number 53 in points. How do you guys feel about Kyle Hendricks?
Well, he's a 2-star pitcher this week too, right?
Yeah.
Which is probably why he was a little bit higher owned maybe than he has been throughout the year.
Okay. Let me put it this way. You got, let's say, Danny Duffy's out there, Archie Bradley's out there, James Paxton, some of these guys that we're excited about. Would you drop Kyle Hendricks for them?
I don't think I would.
No, there's probably another pitcher on my roster I'd rather drop.
Another good home start for Edinson Volquez, guys. This is weird. Just really good at home, really bad on the road.
I think we kind of talked about this with Ian Kennedy yesterday. A lot of the Royals' road games recently, especially, have come in bad places for their style of pitcher. So I don't think Edinson Volquez is going to be this good at home, but I would expect him to be better at home. It's been kind of weird with the Royals as a team. They have an exceptionally good record at home, and they've been awful on the road this year. And that's because a lot of their pitchers are built for Kauffman Stadium. This was a pretty Edinson Volquez start, though. Just 3 strikeouts in 7 innings. It was good. I started him this week because he's a 2-start pitcher with 2 starts at home, and you should do that.
Now that you've got Edinson Volquez, or you picked up Wei-Yin Chen, those are two guys who are 75-77% owned in CBSSports.com leagues. I would drop them in a second for those high upside guys. How do you feel about that, Volquez and Wei and Chen?
I would drop them for a couple of them. I would drop Volquez for Duffy. I would drop him for Paxton. I'm not sure if I'm ready to drop him for Archie Bradley or not.
All right.
Yeah, I feel like I'm more excited about Paxton and Duffy than I am Bradley. I don't know if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Okay.
I guess, you know, generic guy, Blake Snell, okay? Like,
I would definitely drop those guys for Blake Snell or Tyone.
Right. Somebody out there that you really like, you know, yeah. Volquez and Chen are in that class where you could drop them.
It's always nice to have someone on your roster that's like you're fine with starting them if you have to, but you're also fine dropping them.
Matt Cain is 28% owned, and he did struggle yesterday, his first start off the DL. Were you encouraged enough by what he did in his three starts before going on the DL to think Matt Cain should be on fantasy owners' radars?
No.
Nah.
Okay. Derek Law got a save for the Giants yesterday. Santiago Casilla had pitched in three straight and 5 out of 6 days. And Tony Cingrani, kind of a weird month for him. He threw a scoreless inning, got his 7th save at Atlanta. Cingrani has 3 saves in June, and he entered the month with more than a strikeout per inning. In June, he has 1 walk, 1 strikeout in 7 1/3. I don't know if he's reinventing himself, but he's pitching better, but not getting strikeouts.
The 1 walk is nice for him.
Yeah. But yeah, okay.
That's, I mean, it's just like, if he's not going to strike anyone out, I'm not going to believe that he can continue being a good pitcher, getting, you know, 1 strikeout. Look, the control has been an issue for him. And I think the bigger issue actually isn't, it's not really that he's wild, because 50% of his pitches have been in the strike zone this season. It's just that he induces swings on pitches outside of the strike zone at an alarmingly low rate, you know, less than a quarter of a time, which is, for someone that we expected to have better stuff than this, is disappointing.
All right, that's Tony Cingrani, and that's it for Fantasy Baseball today. This was a fun, different kind of show. I enjoyed it, and thank you guys for playing Name That Player and being cool. Nope.
Hey, we're different kind of fellas.
You know what I learned today?
What?
13-player trades probably shouldn't be read on the air.
It was too much for me, at least.
Yeah. And imagine you were looking at the trade. Imagine people who didn't have those names in front of them. They must have.
Oh, that was awful.
I mean, it didn't seem to help.
No.
No.
That you were looking at it.
That didn't help Ethan at all. Help me. Help Chris. Not sure what happened there with Ethan. But, all right, guys. Thanks again for Chris Towers and Heath Cummings. We'll be back on Wednesday. I'm Adam Azer. This is Fantasy Baseball Today.